The following program is sponsored. The opinions and statements made by the hosts and guests do not necessarily reflect the views of WBOB or its parent company, the Chesapeake Portsmouth Broadcasting Corporation.
Welcome to the How to Kill an Hour Hour, the half-hour edition brought to you by Southside Medical Center, where your health is their primary care. And now, without further ado, here's your host for the next 30 minutes, the one, the only, the Ed Man.
Oh, yeah. Welcome once again to the How to Kill an Hour radio show. I'm your host, the man with a plan, the Ed Man, here to give you some of the news for the past week. And I want to start off talking about Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez making headlines once again for doing nothing. I don't know how she does it. I really don't. And, you know, I don't want to come across as being jealous of her fame and success for doing practically nothing. But I will tell you that I am, in fact, jealous of her fame and success for doing nothing. So I'm looking up the news for today, and I'm expecting to see a nice, normal story about how awful Trump is and, you know, how he, I saw something about he did a celebration. I got to look that up in a second. He did some celebration, and they're like, he made it all about himself. You know, they say that every time he introduces something, they're like, he made it all about himself. Although, having said that, I guess he does kind of take the opportunity to toot his own horn a little bit. But is it really headline news? I mean, the guy is a businessman. He's a little bit of a salesman. And it's normal behavior. It's not outrageous to use an event to talk about your policies. And no more different than somebody going on a talk show and talking about their new movie or book coming out. I mean, it's a normal thing for politicians to do, I think. So I expected to see a story like that. And instead I see this. This is from Reuters, the crack staff at Reuters News. Who's been sitting in Pelosi's chair? Democrat Ocasio-Cortez. So when I saw that headline at first, I thought, oh, maybe this is going to be a story about how the Democrats are tearing each other apart. Again, I like that'll be good. But it really is just a story about, I'll read this to you, and you'll see how non-relevant this is. In another first for rookie Congresswoman Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, the liberal Democrat from New York, on Friday became the youngest woman to preside over the U.S. House of Representatives. Well, she's the youngest person elected to Congress. So that's normal. Sitting in House Speaker Nancy Pelosi's chair as part of a routine rotation of House members. Routine. It's routine. It's normal. Everybody gets a chance to do this. It's not even momentous. Sitting in House Speaker Nancy Pelosi's chair as part of a routine rotation of House members, Ocasio-Cortez took her turn with a gavel and ran the chamber for about an hour. The duty is shared day-to-day by members of the House majority, currently the Democrats. So it's really a non-story. It's like she's the youngest person to... They might as well run a story saying she's the youngest person to cross the threshold. To walk through the door, youngest elected congressman. She's the youngest elected Congress person to pick up a pencil, you know. Just in the event, even more non-story. They keep writing. In the event, Ocasio-Cortez did not have a great deal to do. She presided over special orders, which are generally short speeches by House members at the end of the day's legislative business, often on issues of concern in their districts. Ocasio-Cortez, 29, called on members as they rose to speak, once or twice stumbling over their states of origin. Quote, so this is something that she said in this non-story. It's funny that they have so little to say about this. They're actually basically telling you that it's a non-story, calling it routine rotation, and then saying that she doesn't have a great deal to do. And then this actually sounds critical, but I guess, again, they didn't have anything to write about. Ocasio-Cortez, 29, called on members as they rose to speak once or twice stumbling over their states of origin. Quote, for what purpose does the gentleman from Ohio, seek recognition? She said as Representative Sean Casten, a fellow freshman Democrat, took the floor. This was my first time presiding. This is her again. I assume they didn't specify. Oh, yeah, they did at the end. This was my first time presiding, and it's exciting. It's certainly a view. I wish we were allowed to take photos, she told reporters after the session. Jeez. Ocasio describes herself as a democratic socialist. If you ever have a chance, go on YouTube and ask the difference. Watch people interviewing democratic socialists, the difference between a democratic socialist and a socialist, and watch them squirm there. Back to this story. And the most prominent member of a group of female Democrats elected to the House for the first time last November, bolstering the party's liberal wing. I don't know if bolstering is the right word. Maybe weighing down. Maybe tearing apart. Those sound like better adjectives to me. Okay, so the point is that she's famous for just being young and bubbly and preppy. I mean, I suppose she comes across as an every person, and I kind of get it. I mean, it's like Mr. Smith goes to Washington, right? Except it's like the bartender goes to Washington. The thing is that you figure that people who bartend and cut hair, that they probably have all this knowledge, right? And so they're really geniuses. And I actually like the idea of somebody was a bartender and then they just got fed up with it, got fed up with the system, and they decide they're going to do something about it. They're going to make a change. And then they run and they go to Washington, and now it's their time to shine, right? I like that story. And even though I've always felt that this lady was dangerous as all heck, I kind of like her. You know, it's hard not to like her. You know, you see her, she's dancing, looking cute and stuff like that, right? And she seems like a nice person for the most part. Actually, a lot of her Twitter, a lot of her Twitter posts are pretty, I want to say a bad word, but pretty Richard-y, maybe I'll say it. They're pretty Richard-y. But for the most part, I like her as a human being until recently, okay? So I saw her last week. Was it last week? Recently. Go to a thing where she's talking to black people, and she's like putting on this weird accent trying to sound black. I'm like, well, that's a pretty phony thing to do. Let me, and you know, they try to play it off. I can't remember what they called it. They gave it a name. And they try to make it seem like how, you know, sometimes when you fit in with a certain group of friends, you tend to blend in a little bit more. You change your speech slightly. I can understand that. But this, what she was doing was beyond just trying to blend in a little bit. She was really being phony about it. And that kind of rubs me the wrong way, right? So there's that. And, you know, there's always been this sort of, this is kind of too good to be true sort of thing, or she can't really be that dumb, or she's got to be playing or whatever. But now I've really flipped on the other side, and she's starting to annoy me at Hillary Clinton-esque levels of phony. You know, when she did that thing the other week where she was putting on the phony accent, that was a very Hillary Clinton type thing to do, a very pandering thing to do, right? Very phony thing to do. And now what she's doing is pretty fake, I think, also. And how can I describe this here? I got to set up this clip, but there's no video, so I wish you could see it. But this is from her Instagram, and I think she's deleted these. I've got two of them. And one of them is her just being floored by the fact that plants grow in a community garden. And I think this might be because, and I can't prove this, and this is just a real theory here. I have no idea about this. But if you guys remember, when Bill and Hillary Clinton were at the Democratic National Committee, and they launched the balloons, and they and the other people on stage, some of the other people on stage, like Podesta, I think, was one of them, but they kind of went over the top, pretending like they had just never seen balloons before, with this childlike wonder. And I wouldn't be surprised if those are the exact words that the coach told them to use. Because there's no way on God's green earth that Bill and Hillary Clinton and their senior staff are fascinated by damn balloons. They've never seen balloons before. No, it's ridiculous. They're obviously being phony, and anybody who has a lick of sense can see it. So at the DNC, all these balloons drop. Bill and Hillary Clinton pretended like they were never, like they'd never seen balloons, and they were running through them like kids, right? Well, listen to the enthusiasm in Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez's voice. And you tell me if you think it's real or if it's a put-on, okay? So she has a community garden, and she went away for 2 weeks and comes back and then sees that the plants grew in the garden. And here's her reaction.
Oh, my God, you guys. I just checked on my community garden slot, and I was so nervous because I was in New York for 2 weeks in recess. Look. Oh, my God, look at this. It, like, look at the collard greens. They're huge. Look at the dahlias. Oh, my God, I don't have to trim all of these back for smoothies. I am shook. Look, like, honestly, gardening, food, that comes out of dirt. Like, it's magic. Tomatoes died, though. Let's pour one out for the tomato, but this is so exciting!
So what do you think, guys? It's a bunch of BS, right? Like, no one's that excited about seeing plants grow a little bit. The lady is nearly 30. There's no way that she has never seen plants grow before. I don't know. What do you think, guys? I mean, are we just being taken for fools here? Does she think that we're so dumb that we're just going to buy her act hook, line, and sinker? Or is she so dumb that this is actually her reaction? You know, I shouldn't say that. Look, if somebody has accomplished something and they're proud of it, then that's fantastic. I'm just saying that I don't believe it. I don't buy it. I think she's being phony here. I think there's a pun on. And she's playing us for fools. That's what I think. Now, that is not the only piece of evidence that I've got for you guys, okay? So maybe you're thinking, well, maybe some of you out there are green thumbs, right? Maybe she's not just a congressperson. Maybe she loves to garden. She's found a new hobby in her life that's going to last forever. And she's just really, really enthusiastic about it. Okay. All right, that's possible. That can be true. But I'm going to play you her reaction over a garbage disposal, okay? Does everybody out there know what a garbage disposal is? I've known what a garbage disposal is since I was a little kid, okay? Even if I lived in places without a garbage disposal, I still knew what it was. I mean, I've heard of it. I've seen it. I've heard it referenced. They've used it on TV at one point or another. I mean, how can you go your whole life and not know what a garbage disposal is? And you're thinking, Ed, man, you've got to be exaggerating. There's no way that an elected congressperson cannot know what a garbage disposal is. And I say to you, yes, it's true. Here is the clip.
Okay, everyone. I need your help because I just moved into this apartment a few months ago and I flipped this switch. And it made that noise and it scared the daylights out of me. I am told this is a garbage disposal. I've never seen a garbage disposal. I never had one in any place I've ever lived. It is terrifying. I don't know what to use it for or what its purpose is. Like food scraps? Like, is this environmentally sound? I don't know.
Okay, then she sticks the cell, her camera that's on her cell phone, then she sticks it into the disposal, pretending that she doesn't know that the metal teeth of the garbage disposal, pretending like she doesn't know what it is, and she pretends that she thinks it's glass. In my opinion, she's pretending.
Boo! No, I'm just kidding. I think there's a piece of glass down there.
All right, guys. Well, there it is. What do you think? I mean, am I not being fair here? Is it possible that this poor lady has gone her entire life, she's been so poor and so downtrodden that she's never been in a house, never had a friend whose house she's been at, has never seen one on television, has been so sheltered from the world that she does not know what a garbage disposal is. And if that's the case, should she be running things? Should she be one of our royal overlords up there? You know, there was a great show on TV a while back. I'm sure you know it, most of you. It was called Good Times. And it was the trials and tribulations of a black family living in, where were they? Were they in the Bronx? I can't remember where they were at. But I remember one time they were talking about an IQ test. And I can't remember if it was their kid. I mean, look, I saw this episode when I was like six or something. All right. But I remember it from a long time ago. And they were talking about IQ tests. And one of the questions that they were criticizing on IQ, they said a minority that grew up poor can't be held to the same standard with an IQ test that's given to everybody because they don't have the same schema, right? They don't have the same data that everybody else has. So, for instance, you wouldn't say what's the correct way to hold a teacup, and that might have been or may not have been the actual example that they use in the show. Because the person where they grew up, they had never seen a teacup. So how would they know that? But that doesn't mean that they're not intelligent. That's not a proper gauge of IQ. And so the IQ tests aren't accurate. Okay, so just because somebody doesn't know what something is doesn't mean that they're not intelligent. Now, on the other hand, if somebody doesn't know what a cup is or what a garbage disposal is or what a lot of kind of common things are, I'm probably not going to make them president of my company, at least not without a lot of training. And, you know, good luck trying to find these clips on YouTube, guys, because they have been burying them fast as can be. They've been taking them off, saying things like, well, you shouldn't be making fun of her. And I don't know why she's protected, whereas you can say whatever you want. I mean, really, whatever you want about Trump and other Republicans without repercussion. It's really not fair. And, you know, when you say stuff like that, like that's not fair, liberals try to turn around the snowflake phrase, right? They're like, oh, it's so unfair, you're being a snowflake. That cuts them so deep, that insult, that remark, that they try to use it any opportunity they can to kind of turn around. But there's a difference between getting upset because somebody called you a name versus getting upset because you're not allowed to speak. Those are two different levels of issue. There's a difference between getting upset because somebody called you a name and getting upset because somebody physically punched you. I don't understand why liberals cannot understand this distinction. But there you go. You know, in the wake of the failed attempt at unseating Trump, remember, the liberals had put all of their hope that the Mueller report would show that Trump was working with Russia, colluding with a foreign power, collusion was the word. And it went nowhere. And it's so funny. So now they're issuing subpoenas to everybody and their mother. And we have a subpoena for Donald Trump Jr. And we have, and they're trying to get Donald Trump also, and they're trying to get Mueller to testify too. And he was supposed to testify on the 15th of May, the Ides of May. And that's not going to happen. But my take on this is that, you know, the Democrats don't know when to stop. They really don't. And they've already kind of made themselves look like fools. Well, they're going to keep pushing this and keep pushing this, and they're going to keep looking worse and worse and worse. And also, you know, they're trying to get Trump's tax returns forcibly. And I just feel like they're going to end up, of course, pushing away the electorate who sees that they're just, that this really is a witch hunt, that they're just grasping at straws. They're trying to do anything they can to get this guy. And as crazy as it sounds, I can't help but feel that they're playing right into Donald Trump's hands. And the reason I feel that way is because I believe that we have seen this play out over and over and over again. The Democrats accuse Donald Trump of something. He denies it. They go through hell and high water to turn over every stone to figure out what it is. And then, when they finally get it, when they finally turn over the big stone, the big rock, there's nothing under it. And it's all a big nothing. And they're left holding a nothing burger, right? A bag of empty air. And they look like fools. They talk about Trump playing 4D chess. I mean, maybe he really is. Maybe this is his game. And how he defeats people over and over again. And, you know, now they're going after the tax returns. And part of me wonders if there's anything to hide there at all. I mean, was it the New York Times, the Washington Post? Who was it? Somebody found their returns, found his old returns from like the 80s or something, publishes them. They got leaked somehow, publishes them, and shows that he lost a lot of money. And the Democrats are going, oh, look, we found out that he lost money. Well, yeah. I mean, we've known for a long time that the man has been bankrupt before. He's talked about it. He's written a book about it. There's been endless news stories about it. Even in this past election, they've kept talking about it over and over again. So it's not really news. It's really nothing again. And so I think maybe this is a giant strategy. And if they ever do get a hold of Trump's tax returns, now who knows? They might get a hold of his returns and there's something big in there. But if they do get a hold of his returns and there's nothing in there at all, it's just going to be another domino falling for the Democrats against them. Another way to make them look bad and have them lose the election. Now, speaking of looking bad, Hillary Clinton's reared her ugly head again and has now mimicked Donald Trump's words, showing that he is the leader and she is the follower. Listen to this astonishing clip that she said. This is Hillary Clinton on the Rachel Maddow Show.
And since Russia is clearly backing Republicans, why don't we ask China to back us?
I hereby tonight ask China.
That's right. And not only that, China, if you're listening, why don't you get Trump's tax returns? I'm sure our media would richly reward you. Now, according to the Mueller report, that is not conspiracy because it's done right out in the open. So if after this hypothetical Democratic candidate says this on your show, within hours, all of a sudden the IRS offices are bombarded with incredibly sophisticated cyber tools looking for Trump's tax returns and then extracts them and then passes them to whatever the new WikiLeaks happens to be, and they start being unraveled and disclosed, nothing wrong with that.
What a nasty woman. But this is great because now she has done the exact same thing that they accused Trump of doing. Trump went on and Hillary Clinton destroyed 33,000 emails after she was subpoenaed from Congress. It destroys them. And then Trump says, well, and everybody was going, oh, Trump is there's a Russian conspiracy and Trump's in on it. And Trump said, well, listen, I don't have anything to do with Russia, but if you're listening, guys, since our government can't get the emails out of her, why don't you give it a shot? And they took that. Now, Trump has said that he's joking. And they took that as evidence that he's colluding with Russia. So ridiculous. So now Hillary Clinton goes up and under the guise of being a Democratic candidate calling for Trump's tax returns. And then that's when these old returns appeared. So people are theorizing that this actually did happen. I don't think so. But anyway, the difference is, though, first of all, when Trump asked for those returns from Russia, he was asking because Hillary Clinton illegally deleted them. Trump didn't illegally delete his tax returns. So asking for someone to produce them is probably pretty illegal. Secondly, even if it's not, you can no longer use that action from Trump against him because now Hillary Clinton has done the exact same thing.